Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. On the program today, we have Dr. Jack Pransky, and he is an expert at helping people live in a state of well-being with less stress and healthy relationships, living effectively, and he wants to speak to ex-offenders today, so we're certainly going to let him do that. He's written a book called Somebody Should Have Told Us. We're going to be talking to Dr. Jack Pransky right after this, but before we do, I want to tell everybody hello, and we're back from a little bit of a break, our Christmas break. Rose is here in the studio with me today. Hey, babe.
Hey, how are you?
Did you have a good Christmas?
We had a great Christmas.
Well, I don't even know why I asked the question. I was with you the whole time.
I know you had
a good Christmas. What all did we do?
Well, we had family over.
And the twins.
We had baby granddaughters, twins.
And Brittany was here with her baby, Lane.
That's right, Lane.
Okay. And we just had a good old time. And we hope that you were able to spend some time with family as well. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Dr. Jack Pransky right here on The Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of The Journey of Hope. We've got a great guest for you today, Dr. Jack Pransky. He specializes in helping people live in a state of well-being with less stress and healthy relationships and living effectively. He's written several books, including what he calls his most important book, Somebody Should Have Told Us. Jack Pransky is here with us today. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
I'm just fine, thanks. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, let's just get off right off the bat here, talking a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an international trainer, consultant, author, and I have been working in the field of the prevention of problem behaviors, such as crime and delinquency and alcohol and drug abuse and child sexual abuse and domestic violence and all those things since 1968. And it was about 1991 or so that I got turned on to a new, totally different way of looking at things that changed everything about the way that I had been going about doing prevention. And then it went into, working with anybody, really.
So how did you come around to write the book? Tell us how you came to that.
Well, because I got my head turned around, and I'll tell you how that happened. I was invited to a prevention conference, and I was speaking there was a fellow named Dr. Roger Mills, and he was talking about these incredible results that he got in two low-income inner-city housing projects around Miami. And he was doing everything backwards from what I had learned. And I was immediately suspicious because I had just spent 2 years of my life researching everything that I could find that worked about prevention and was writing a book on it called Prevention, the Critical Need. And everything that he was talking about was backwards. But he brought with him a couple of the women from the housing projects. And when they started to speak, it just did something to me. I realized that the kind of changes that they had undergone in their life had turned them around completely and were head and shoulders above the kinds of results that I had been getting in prevention and that the whole field had been getting. So I ended up writing a book about what happened in those housing projects. It's called Modelo, A Story of Hope, interestingly enough, for the inner city and beyond. Uh-huh. And then I got to the point where, well, what happened was, while I was researching what went on down there, I found that, much to my amazement, my own life started to change. And I wasn't even looking for that. I was just playing investigative reporter and stuff like that.
Huh.
But when that happened, all of a sudden, I kind of got hooked about this new approach. And then when I started to try to use this new approach with other people instead of what I had been using before, I started getting much better results, much faster than I had before. So I had to write a book about it. And that's how Somebody Should Have Told Us came to be.
Okay. And, you know, as I understand it, the premise of your book is that we don't have to let negative feelings dominate us. And so am I correct in assuming that?
Well, in a sense, that's true. But there's something that lies behind feelings.
Okay.
And that we don't recognize most of the time, and that is our own thinking is what produces the feelings that we have. And we have a tendency to take our feelings as really real, but they're only real from the perspective that we're looking at things at. So it will feel very real because our power of consciousness takes every thought that we have and makes it look and feel absolutely real. But when we realize that we're the ones that are creating with our power of thought, we're the ones creating our feelings by the way we see it, all of a sudden, everything changes.
Is the negative kind of feelings, is that where the root of things like addiction are?
Well, I would go even further than that. Yes, in order for people to display addictive behaviors, you could say, there is always a compelling feeling behind that behavior. And if we don't deal with the feeling, the behavior is still going to happen. But if we look closely, we can see that there's always a compelling thought or series of thoughts behind the feeling. And if we don't deal with the thinking, we're two steps behind the fact already. And then if we look even further, deeper, we can see that there's this tremendous creative power of thought that we have to come up with anything, to think anything about any situation, including a drug or our relationship with the drug or alcohol or anything like that. And when we realize that we're the ones who are in the driver's seat with our own creation, that's where the true power is to have change occur.
Okay, and I guess, okay, I want to make sure I'm understanding you here. The traditional way of approaching this was that there was a thought and then a feeling and then an action. But what
right.
you're saying is that there's a thought. I mean, there's a feeling, then a thought, or
no.
The thought comes first.
Gift, the creative power that we have to come up with any thoughts.
I see.
And once a thought has already been thought, it's really too late. I mean, it's really hard to change the way that we're thinking, or think positively, or reframe our thinking. It's really hard to do that. But if we realize that whatever we have come to think, we're the creators of it, and we could have created anything on this whole realm of levels of consciousness. So it's almost like we're looking down a, you know how there's a cardboard tube that is underneath wrapping paper, like wrapping paper is wrapped around it?
Right.
And if you look down this tube, you will see whatever is at the end of the tube. But if you look down with the tube, you will see something different, something lower, you could say. And if you look up with the tube, you will actually see something higher. And when we realize that we're the ones who are deciding inadvertently, not on purpose, whether we're looking at from a higher level or from a lower level, in any situation, that's when we don't have to take so seriously what our thinking has been about these things, and we don't have to take personally what other people are throwing at us, because we know that that just has to do with their thinking, and they don't realize that it's their thinking that's driving them either.
This is very interesting. One of the things you do in the book that I really like is, and I haven't read the whole book, I thumbed through what was available on Amazon, but you use, instead of approaching it like a how-to manual to work through this, you use stories to illustrate your point, and I really like that. Where did you come up with the stories?
Well, it's just that if you deal with things, let's take addiction or criminal behavior or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, if I have found that if we go directly after that behavior, sometimes people's guards go up. You know, their thinking starts to get really fixed, and they start to protect themselves.
Okay.
So what I've noticed is that sometimes when you just tell stories, I mean, I'm talking about real stories, about real things that have happened to other people, people get so caught up in the story that they don't realize, you know, it's kind of getting underneath their radar. And all of a sudden, when their minds relax a little bit, they have a tendency to get insights that really help them in their lives.
Okay. This is, I'm really liking this, Jack. We're gonna take a real quick break here. When we come back, more with Jack Pransky, and we'll be talking about his book, Somebody Should Have Told Us. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. I want to remind you that you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. And, babe, we got a lot of good shows coming up.
Do we really?
Yes.
Good.
I promise we do. You want to be sure and tell people about the Journey of Hope. If you know anyone who has been released from incarceration or the family of someone who is dealing with a loved one that is coming home from incarceration, be sure and tell them about the Journey of Hope. Okay, more with Dr. Jack Pransky right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. Talking with Jack Pransky in his book, Somebody Should Have Told Us. He's written other books, but he claims that this is his most important work. And in the book, he has an entire chapter devoted to listening to others. And I wanted to ask you, Jack, about that. How important is that to deeply listen to other people?
When I'm working with somebody else, listening at a much deeper level than we are used to listening is the key to whether I can get through to people or not. I want to listen at such a deep level that I am not listening to people's words. I am listening underneath the words to what they're really trying to say, but they might not have the words for. I'm listening for what's behind the words. It's a very hard thing to describe. It's almost like listening through intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has had moments in their life when they were able to listen at such a deep level that they get a flash of intuition, even if it's something as little as listening to a baby before they have any words. Like, how do we know what they want? But yet we do sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, mm-hmm. or listening to a pet, like a dog or a cat or something. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we know what they want? But we do know what they want sometimes. And that's the kind of listening that I'm talking about doing. And it's something that everybody does naturally, but as soon as the other person uses words, we forget about it totally because we start listening to the words and we forget listening to what's really important.
Okay. But isn't there a little bit of, you know, when we're, let's just say we're having a conversation with someone and we listen to what they say, but what we really want to do is get to what we have to say.
Exactly right.
And my guess would be that this kind of listening would take some practice, maybe?
Well, it just takes mostly intention.
Okay.
And it takes, I mean, I used to think I was a good listener, but when I realized that while I was listening to someone, it's just like what you're saying, either I would have something on my mind that I would want to say, and that would take me off of listening,
mm-hmm.
or I would think of something else that I had to do later, that would take me off of listening. And when I realized that I would follow, it's like my consciousness would follow my thinking, and I would lose the other person. You know, as soon as you realize that you're going off with your own thinking, then boom, you know, you will snap back to the moment because that's not really where you want to be with another person.
Right. Huh. I wish there was some more listening going on around my house. I imagine everybody can relate to this. I have adult children, and they, and I've learned as they've graduated from college and, you know, getting married and buying houses and, you know, what you do when you're young. And they don't listen to a darn word I say, you know. and I wish they had some better listening skills. I hope they're practicing them in their relationship because it's important to be a good listener in a relationship, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, it's the most critical thing besides love,
mm-hmm.
is listening at that kind of a level. Now, what I usually tell people when they say that other person in a relationship is not listening to me, I would reverse it and say, first, the first order of business is to really listen to them. And when you really do listen to them at a really deep level so that they can feel it from the other end, then they will have more of a tendency to listen in return.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Excellent. You've also got a chapter where you talk about us being, we're only as stuck as we think we are. There are a lot of people that listen to this show that, because of life circumstances and poor decision making or whatever, or in a bad spot. Talk to me about getting unstuck. How do we do that?
Yeah, this is one of the two most important things I would say in my book. One of the two. It's like no matter what happens to us in life, our feelings and the reality we see never come from the outside world, even though it looks that way. It always comes from our own thinking, which we're always in the process of creating new. So when we're stuck, we don't realize that that is just a thought or a series of thoughts that we have latched onto, and consciousness makes them look real to us and feel real. But when we realize that there's nothing fixed about thought. Thought is continually changing. And very often, if we wait a while, we will look at a situation differently than we're looking at it now. And that just shows you how unfixed it is. And that's the secret to becoming unstuck, is to realize that we aren't. It's just thought. That's all it is just thought that is our own creation. And it's just as likely that something else could be created. And if we give it time, most of the time it will. And if we're stuck at the time and we can't see our way out, then it's really helpful to call our reality into question, to say to ourselves, you know, what's behind my being stuck right now? And is it really true? I mean, is this really true? Like, if I want to rob a store, is it really true that I have to do this?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Or if I wait a while, you know, right now I got this compelling feeling that I feel really compelled to do it. If I wait a while, will I still feel that way? And that can make a huge difference in somebody's life.
Absolutely. This is great stuff. I really like the things that you have to say, Jack. How do people get a hold of your book?
Well, they can get a hold of it in a couple of ways. One is they can get it through Amazon, mm-hmm. or have any bookstore order it, really. Or they can go to my website and order it that way, which is www.healthrealize.com.
Okay. Is it on Kindle?
I believe it is. I believe it is.
Through Amazon?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Dr. Jack Pransky, I feel like we just scratched the surface here. This is such interesting information. People, you might want to pick this book up and read it and take a good look at it. I think I'm going to take a good look at it myself. Jack Pransky, thank you so much for being here. The book is Somebody Should Have Told Us. Thank you for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you, Rodney. It's my pleasure.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Don't need no cowboy boots to ride a country song. We'll have to live in the sticks to mock the country music mix. Ain't got to live in no sticks to mock the country.
Hey, babe, I think we've come to the end of another show.
Yeah, great.
Well, I want to thank my special guest, Dr. Jack Pransky. And I put a little link next to his name there, next to the podcast, so that you can just click on it and go check out some other things about Jack. Cool guy, got a lot of cool things to say. Hey, so you're getting ready to go back to work?
That's right. I had a 2-week vacation, so I'm really rested and ready to go back.
Are you really rested?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know. Every time I see you, you're doing something. When do you sit down?
Yeah, well, I'm trying. I'm trying to rest.
Hey, listen, we're going to be back next week with a lot of great guests. We've got a lot of good guests lined up here for the midwinter going into the spring, so you want to be sure and check out The Journey of Hope. And remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.